Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Muslim Marriage Podcast, where we talk about healthier relationships from a Muslim lens. I'm Zahra Hassan.
And I'm AJ, and we've been married for 2.5 years.
And let's get started. On today's episode, we'll be talking about the talking stage. Okay. I think that, how about we'll just start with questions, common questions that people tend to have, and then we'll switch up to talk about our own talking stage.
Yeah.
It sounds okay?
Yeah.
All right. So one of the most common questions that I know that, because I'm a relationship coach for Muslim women.
Yeah.
So one of the most common questions I get is, how do I know if a man is interested in me?
That's a good question.
Yeah. So as representative of all men, how do you guys show interest?
Okay. What kind of interest are you talking about here? Are you talking about like superficial, or are you talking about like deep interest?
I'm talking like when people are engaged in the talking stage.
Yeah.
And they've gone through that initial first week of gauging whether or not this is somebody that they're attracted to, just all the baseline things.
Yeah.
And in the second week, you're now gauging whether or not this is someone you want to continue talking to.
Yeah.
And possibly meet up with, whatever is the next stage. So when they're at that stage is usually when women are most confused.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they'll have, their energy will fall off. Maybe they will be less consistent. But they'll be sending mixed messages. So their question is, when I'm at that phase and I'm trying to understand whether or not I should be taking this brother seriously, how do I know that he's interested?
Well, okay. It's going to be a little more difficult for him to stay interested if you are falling off and yourself seeming more disinterested, right? I feel like if you guys both do remain engaged in the conversation, right? If one person seems more engaged than the other, then that could mean either the other person's not interested.
Yes.
Or the other person just so happens to be really, 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 okay, really, really busy.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. So when they say that they're busy, when brothers sometimes say that, you know, I've been really busy, that's true? No?
No.
You're shaking your head no?
Yeah. Honestly, if somebody says I've been really busy, right, you'd expect them to either be focusing on their business, like they're an entrepreneur, and they've got stuff that they've got to deal with.
Deadlines,
Or they're dealing with family issues, like they're a caretaker for someone. But if they don't have much of anything with regards to that, all they do is just like the standard 9-to-5 they're working and whatnot. If they're just all of a sudden saying, yeah, sorry, I've been really busy.
Yeah.
And it's not just like the one time, maybe like a couple times. You got to worry, like, what are they being preoccupied with?
Okay, so you're saying it depends.
It depends.
No, I agree with you. Like, whenever it is a client ask me, how do I know whether or not a man is interested?
I tell
them that there's usually three signs. The first is the one that you talked about, which is the consistency in communication. Like, is this brother showing up in a consistent way? Does he want to talk to you? Does he want to reach out to you on a day-to-day basis? Because when someone is interested and they're on your mind, you want to talk to them.
Yeah,
you want to check in. I remember when you and I were going through our talking stage because you had that because you were working night shift at the time.
Yeah.
You would come back home in the morning and then you would text me and say, I'm home, you know, good morning, have a good day, something. You would always message something.
Yeah.
And your consistency was such that I knew what time it was based on when I heard the phone go doing, like when your message came through.
Yeah.
Tabarakallah.
And I'd immediately fall asleep.
Yes. Yes, you would. But you would be very diligent about making sure that you said something to me each morning.
Yeah.
And at nighttime when you were going into work, you know, you would say something to me each night. So the consistency of communication is part of how I knew that you and I were on the same page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know to the fact that you were counting on me being that consistent where one day I fell asleep early.
Oh, yeah, I remember the day.
Yeah, and you panicked, and you're like, oh, my God, this guy's not interested in me anymore. That's it. We got to call this off. There's no way.
Okay, I'm not going to pretend that didn't happen.
Yeah.
But part of what I was struggling with, like, my MO is that I would walk away when things became uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Sometimes prematurely, right? Yeah. So when I didn't hear from you, I think it was for, like, 3 hours or something. Yeah. I was a little bit neurotic. When I didn't hear from you for those 3 hours, I'm like, well, this guy is obviously not interested. I'm wasting my time. I don't understand why he... Well, all of that was before. Like, you, subhanAllah, like that. I think the previous evening you had sent me this lovely message.
Yeah.
That was very long, had a lot of, like, and that meant a lot to me. And I'm like, well, why did he just lie? Like, I came to so many big conclusions.
Yeah.
And I spoke to my friends. And they said, just give him a chance. Just hold off for an hour.
Yeah.
Before you go full MIA, just give him an hour.
Yeah.
And subhanAllah, you messaged back within that hour.
It was my fault because I got you used to the consistency.
Yeah.
Right?
Just
clockwork.
It is. It's like, it's not so much as fault. Sometimes, you know, your wounds.
Yeah.
Your wounds. The when people talk about self-sabotage and things like that. Sometimes your wounds will play out. And for me, walking away was always on the air of saving less time, on the air, erring on the side of caution.
Yeah.
So that's why that served me. That's a topic for a different day.
Caution is helpful.
Alhamdulillah. I'm glad you messaged back. That's why we're here today.
Yeah.
But consistency is the first way that you know that a man is interested in you.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. The second way is when he wants to progress the relationship forward. So whatever that looks like between you, for our, in the context of Islam, because of the way that we handle ourselves when we're talking to somebody of the opposite gender, usually that means that he wants to speak to your family pretty quickly. Or he talks about your family, or he'll say things like, so tell me about your family. Like, he doesn't shy away from that topic. Yeah. He wants to involve your family.
Yeah.
And ask you about how they feel. So that's what progressing the relationship looks like. It also looks like if you were on the app initially, he'll wants to move off the app. If you were texting, he'll want to talk on the phone. If you're talking on the phone, he'll want to meet up. Whatever is the next stage in that process.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you find that somebody is resistant to that or just avoiding all of that, he's probably not interested.
Yeah.
And the third way that you know a man is interested is you will just know.
You'll just, it's a vibe check.
Yeah, exactly. You'll just, you will, subhanAllah, out of the people who I've spoken to, there are others that who I had some idea where they stood. But with you, I'd never had any doubts except that one day you fell asleep.
Yeah.
And I tell clients, whenever you find yourself on Google or YouTube and you're searching up, is he interested in me? Should I take him seriously?
It's already too late.
Yeah, it's at that point, it means that he probably isn't interested in you.
He probably is not.
And that's why on some level, you know that. And you're looking for some reassurance that's not the case.
Yeah.
So whenever I would be talking to somebody and I would find myself typing that, I would be like, oh, okay. Okay. That would be enough information,
and
and then I would just move on to the next one. So those are the ways that you know that a man is interested. The second question
okay,
that sisters that tend to have is they're finding that many of the brothers are having difficulty with commitment, and so they're asking.
That's a problem.
Yes, it is. So they're asking, well, why are many, I'm not saying all of them, but I'm saying this is a common pattern. Yeah. Why are some of the brothers not interested in commitment?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's the media they ingest, they're digesting the wrong types of media.
Yeah.
Almost every TV show has boyfriend and girlfriend and things like that. And they expect the relationships to be fleeting things of passion.
Oh.
Yeah.
SubhanAllah.
None of that getting to know each other, seeing their compatibilities and looking for a lifetime partner.
Yeah.
It starts with the sprint, and then once you guys get to the finish line,
yeah,
you're like, what's the point of running the race anymore? I don't like running this race. I'm just going to see if I can do the hurdle.
Yeah,
or something like that. Find the long next... jump or something like that.
All right.
We'll try a different sport.
I think I'm still following with you in terms of the analogy, but we almost lost it, but we got there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
we got there.
I passed the baton over to you.
Right.
You managed to finish the race. Unfortunately, it's a two-person baton race.
Okay.
The next event is shot put or something like that. Maybe hockey. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll stop there.
We're still thinking about it.
We'll stop there.
Wayne Gretzky is actually a pretty cool guy. I feel like I should invite him.
Okay, well, how about here? That feels like a good stopping place. Okay, so when we go back to commitment, we talk about commitment. I hear what you're saying, that it's the socialization through this new society where monogamy, things like monogamy or things like long-term commitment involving marriage, there's no reason to do that.
In the Western world,
in the Western world, but through television and movies and social media, and there's this idea that it's okay to have multiple partners, it's okay to have shorter term relationships, it's mm-hmm. okay to receive the benefits of being somebody without actually having to fulfill your responsibilities of them not expecting anything with you. Oh, yeah,
it is weird.
It happens, but it's good to understand that that might be some of what it is that's going on. I don't really know why people will have difficulty with commitment, but I can tell you that many times sometimes a person who is not interested in commitment will still be wanting to talk to you.
Yeah.
And the reason is we were created to be social creatures. There is benefit. And things like there's actual benefit in things like validation, companionship, reassurance, you know, having a place to vent, all of these things.
Yeah. It's annoying
that there's those things are beneficial.
No, it's annoying that those things are required.
It's too late. You're here. But because those things are valuable, sometimes they'll engage in a relationship with you, trying to extract those from you while simultaneously managing your expectations so that you don't expect anything further than the status quo from them, right? So they walk that tightrope. And then what that tends to look like is they'll do the hot, cold, where you're speaking to somebody and they seem very interested, and then they start to pull back a little bit because they're trying to get you to temper what you expect from them.
Yeah.
And get comfortable with less and less and less communication or less and less reciprocation.
Yeah.
And when that person gets bored, they'll reach back out and they say, hey, how are you doing? So the older I remember when I was much younger, mm-hmm. I would fall for this. Like, I wouldn't be able to see it. I'm not saying that the people are doing it always intentionally. The ones who are doing the hot, cold, that they're intentionally being malicious. Sometimes it is not intentional. But at the end of the day, it looks the same to the person that they're doing it to. Yeah. So when I was younger, I would fall for this many times. I wouldn't mm-hmm. see it for what it is. But the older that I would get and the more that I read and the more I became educated on the different dynamics of relationships, you can start to see it very quickly.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah. So as soon as somebody starts dropping off in their consistency, assuming they haven't taken a nap that day, then you need to reconsider whether or not you and that person are on the same page. So that's how you deal with the whole issue of commitment, right? Mm-hmm. You look at the overall picture and assess whether or not that person is committed to you, and don't really worry about why.
Don't worry about why.
Yeah, yeah. They might have a previous relationship. They might be going through something difficult in their life.
Yeah.
They might be somebody who has a personality disorder. Not all of that adds up to a non-relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, all of that adds up to wasted time.
So much wasted effort.
Yeah.
So sad.
And the ones who are doing those dynamics, sometimes those like we mentioned, those are pretty easy to recognize. But there is another subgroup of people who are also low commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And that group of people are the ones who think that they want commitment, who believe that they're ready for marriage.
Okay.
And they're ready to live up to those responsibilities. And
until
they meet you or they meet somebody who is actually serious about marriage,
yeah,
they come to face with the reality of what is now expected,
yeah,
and then they go, oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake.
That's a lot of responsibility, fella.
Yes, I'm not actually ready.
Not
so
ready.
That subgroup is more difficult to suss predict. Out. Yeah, exactly. To suss out. There's no judgment. Those people, they usually don't have bad intentions. Mm-hmm. It's just something that they didn't know about themselves until they were there.
And so, there is that famous line, you know, like, they can't guess what you're going to do if you don't know what you're going to do.
Exactly. So what I usually tell my clients when they ask me, how do I bypass this? I'm like, it's really hard to do, but there is one small way.
Day one, you just ask them, you're like, hey, do you want to get married?
That is one way. Mm-hmm. I don't know about the success rate.
Well, I mean, it'll have the person like, yeah, you know what? Yeah, I'm ready. Yeah, let's go get married. I'm like, okay, cool. We can continue our relationship. I'm not going to get married to you yet.
Yeah.
But like, it's a good start.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That is definitely one way.
That way you can find out if they're committed or not.
Yeah. This is not a coach endorsed way, but it is a way.
Eventually, like, if you try it with like half the population on Earth, you might be able to find somebody that agrees.
Or, and hear me out here.
Sure.
So one way, like a small way that you can bypass that is I would take people who were previously divorced more seriously, because whenever you come across a brother who was already married, that brother tends to understand what is required.
Yeah.
So when that brother says, I'm ready for marriage, his words have carry a lot more weight.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for that reason, I know there's a lot of stigma around divorce in our community,
knows the difficulties involved.
Exactly. So there's a lot of stigma that's unnecessary against people who are divorced on the women's side and the men's side. And I think most of that stigma is nonsense.
I think the stigma comes more from the fact that their first marriage fell through, right?
Yeah.
But the stigma shouldn't come from a person who's been divorced and is looking for a new relationship.
Yeah. For context, you and I were both previously divorced when we met.
Mm-hmm.
And a big reason of why I took you so seriously is because you were divorced.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. And alhamdulillah, I'm glad we did.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. So when we move on to the next topic, let's talk about ghosting.
Ghosting?
Because that's something that happens and it's sometimes very painful. So have you ever ghosted?
Never cross the streams.
No.
No.
Have you ever ghosted someone?
No, I haven't. I've been ghosted before, but I've never ghosted anybody. I've always tried to tell the person flat out, hey, sorry, it's not working out.
Yeah.
They get very angry.
Makes sense.
Yeah, they get very angry and they're like, why would you? No, I disagree. No, we're going to continue this.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, okay, sorry. Yeah, I've already said, sorry. Yeah, I can't do that. And they just get, they get angry. But.
Yeah.
Believe they would prefer that over me just ignoring them.
100%. Because part of the reason why ghosting is so painful is when people don't give you a reason, we make assumptions. And those assumptions will always be in line.
What are the reasons?
What are the reasons?
That's the assumptions they would make. What are the reasons? Why are they not texting back?
Yeah.
Are they injured? Are they seriously injured? Or do they just not like me?
Usually people conclude the second one, but the language that they use will be in line with whatever core wounds they already have. So if somebody has core wounds associated with rejection, they'll use language like, they left because I'm not worthy, because I'm not lovable. And it'll feel like, especially when it happens repetitively, because it's become such a norm in the quote-unquote dating world. It really starts to feed into that wound of I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, I'm not lovable. Yeah. If somebody has a fear or a core wound around abandonment, then again, that will also feed into that of people don't stay, right? People are, I can't really trust people, or etc. So that's why ghosting can be very painful, especially depending on where you are in your life.
Yeah.
So if you've been ghosted multiple times, and another similar area is when people are looking for work and they keep applying for work and they keep getting back all these rejections and all these no's and etc. These things can add up very quickly on a person's psyche and start to really affect their mental health. Yeah. So that's why I always recommend avoid ghosting. Don't try not to put more pain out there for other people. You don't really know what they're going through in their life. Instead, give them, like you said, I would write down in my notepad, I had this statement, this two lines that I would just copy and paste.
Yeah.
Every time that I would see for whatever reason it's not going to work out, I would type, I'm really glad I got to know you. You seem like a really great person. Unfortunately, I don't think we're compatible, but I wish you all the best.
Yeah.
And then just copy paste that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other person on the other end will know that I'm leaving because of a compatibility
issue. And this person's mature and they're like, oh, yeah, you know what? Actually, they did tell me this and I don't have to worry about it or anything.
Ideally. Sometimes they would ask for follow-up questions.
Yeah.
And depending on the situation, I usually would explain to them, well, it's because we don't agree on the roles of the spouses in marriage, or because for whatever reason, I would tell them.
Yeah.
But if you don't feel comfortable telling a person that, you don't have to really be on that. You don't actually owe anyone anything, right? Yeah. So it's those two lines are usually sufficient for most people.
I think one of the upsides,
yes,
of not ghosting somebody is because they can ask those follow up questions, right? Yes. Like, what can I do better? What can I do differently? Right.
Yes.
What is it about me that you didn't like?
Yes.
Specifically to also, because you didn't ghost them.
Yeah.
They could be like, okay, well, I mean, like, now that you've left me.
Oh, no.
Who are you going to call?
Oh, God. I knew it was coming.
Yeah, it was getting there.
It was coming. The Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So aside the Ghostbusters, the question comes up of, well, why do people ghost? Why do they ghost?
Mm.
And I think it's for one of two reasons. Sometimes a combination. Insecurity,
really.
Yeah.
They can't really take confrontation, I would think.
That's what it is. Like, sometimes people don't have the communication skills to be able to handle something that is a negative conversation.
Oh, yeah.
So that when you are considering somebody for the purpose of marriage, if they don't have good communication skills, that's somebody who will be difficult to be married to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to keep that in mind. The second reason why somebody might ghost you is because they don't respect you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, if somebody doesn't respect you, it's not somebody who's a marriage is going to work out with.
Yeah. If somebody does ghost you at one point in time throughout the relationship.
Yeah.
And then randomly shows up like a week later or something.
They do that,
like,
yeah.
Ah, hey, sorry, I was just really busy, right? And they don't try to explain what it was that they were busy with, that they didn't have enough time to even say hi to you. Now think about it. No matter how busy somebody is, no matter how busy somebody is, there's going to be a time in which they're going to be falling asleep, right?
Yeah.
There's going to be a time in which they're just going to be eating some food, right? When there's just a lull in their day.
Yes.
Even if they're actively fighting a fire, a firefighter could be like, well, it's lunchtime, you know?
Yes.
And he's going to text.
Yeah. If they, I know it's like really oversaid in social media that if you wanted to, he would.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good principle to keep in mind that just like you show up for people, just like you are busy, right? Yeah. I tell the women, just like you have all of these commitments, you go to work, you go to school, you're running a business, whatever it is. And you're very busy and involved, but you make time.
Yeah.
So in the same way that you make time, that time exists for the other person to make time as well. But if they're not making it, they're telling you something.
Yeah.
And it's important that you receive that information for what it is. So when you are in that phase of the talking stage, right? A good way to think about it is that you are not interviewing people to come and work in your company.
Yeah.
And say you hired somebody, right? Mm-hmm. And they're on their probation period, which is what the talking stage is. And they're wishy-washy about the days that they show up for work.
Yeah.
Because you value your business and you value your company, you're going to be like, that's not good enough.
Yeah.
I need somebody whose goals line up with our goals.
Yeah.
Who are on the same page with, who wants to build something real with me.
Yeah.
So in that same way, you value your time, you value the space in which you want to create a relationship. That's mm-hmm. a sacred space, inshallah, where you will build your family, where you're going to build a marriage relationship and parenthood and all the things that come with that. Yeah. It's not something small to be played with. So the person who you let into that space has to be on the same page as you. And if they're showing you that they're not, it's time to reconsider.
So I think, honestly,
yeah,
with regards to the relationships, the work thing is a good analogy. Some people might take it too far.
Yeah.
Right? Because in this day and age, with the new wave of millennials and Gen Z.
You mean us? Yes.
They start job hopping. It's something that the boomer generation is not liking. They're like, these people, these youngins, these rapscallions and rascals, they're not loyal.
Mm-hmm.
They don't stick with the company for years upon years.
Yeah.
They'll leave at the first sight of an issue. Don't take that analogy with regards to relationship being like a workplace too seriously.
Yeah.
We don't want you guys to...
Job hop. Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. I think it still applies in this case. Just to, like, not even think of it as your job.
Yeah.
Think of it as your business and your company.
Your entrepreneurship.
Exactly. So that somebody who's going to come on to that space to build something with mm-hmm. you, which is exactly what marriage is. Somebody who's going to build with you.
Yeah.
This entity.
Ideally, you want the person that joins you to have IT qualifications.
Okay. You can just put that in your dating profile.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I would say that's most of what's happening from the woman's side, right? So before we move on that,
yeah,
let's just to close up the section on ghosting because it's so painful. I always recommend that clients write down somewhere that he ghosted me because of what was wrong with him.
Like, yeah.
He ghosted me because of what was going on with him. Usually people will not ghost you because based on what they've seen from you.
Yeah.
How can they? They don't really know you.
They don't know you.
Exactly. For whatever reason, that person did not have the maturity and the capacity to be able to communicate that to you.
Mm-hmm.
Or they didn't respect you. And both of those don't really have much to do with you.
It's weird.
Yeah. So it's... Because it's such a painful experience, that's something that I found that helps, just remembering that perspective. And so just moving on to the next section. Now let's talk about questions that the brothers will have.
Presumably.
Yeah.
These are questions that the brothers have asked you already.
Yes. The questions they've asked me and I've seen come up a lot in multiple different social media platforms. So because they're Muslim, they'll say... You know, we've grown up under a society where segregation, where the genders are segregated, where we were told, where we lower our gaze, you know, out of respect for our Muslim sisters, we don't really talk to them unless there's a reason. So all of this adds up to now when I'm looking for a wife, how do I talk to her? Like, how do I approach this girl?
Mm.
So how is it that men are to approach women? Like, what would you recommend?
Firstly, with respect.
It's a good place to start.
You don't want to catcall anybody. No wolf whistles.
No,
nothing like that.
Yeah.
And you approach the person with your gaze lowered. You just want to be staring at the floor.
Yeah.
So that they can see your bald spot.
Okay.
Right? That way they know that you're wise.
Of course.
Yeah.
So.
You've been thinking a lot.
So for context, you and I met on the dating app.
Mm-hmm.
But. Maybe you would talk about how you used to approach people before you met me.
Mm, yeah. Okay. I'd almost always immediately go straight to the father.
Yes.
Yeah.
You wanted to tell us a little about
how you did. Yeah. Back in high school.
Yeah.
Was the first time.
High school.
Yeah.
MashaAllah.
I was 18 or 19 years old, just before graduation for high school.
Yeah.
There was this girl that. I figured out fancied me.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh dang, okay, yeah, no, I fancy her too.
Yeah.
And she'd always come sit at our table when we're eating lunch. She'd bring like a deck of cards to try to engage me in playing.
Yes.
Like Go Fish or something like that.
And yeah.
She was very bold. And what I would do is one day just went to her apartment, knocked on the door.
Yeah.
And her mom
Mm-hmm.
Opened the door, and she didn't know who I was.
Of course.
She's like, hi, how may I help you? And I said, is the father home? Is Papa home?
Yeah.
Right? And she's like, well, what does he want from Apple?
Yeah. Right?
What does he want from Papa? So she went and woke him up.
Oh, no. He was asleep.
He was working the night shift, taxi driver.
Yeah.
So he wasn't very happy that somebody woke him up. He probably thought it was something very, very important, which to me it was.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, I like your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I have reason to believe your daughter likes me as well.
Oh, no. You put her on blast.
Yeah. And okay. I just added her to their family like that.
Yeah.
And I said, I'd like to have your permission to start talking with her.
Mashallah.
And he said, it's a bit too early. How about you wait 2 years?
Come back.
Come back in 2 years.
Yeah.
I saw no problem with that. I'm like, done.
Okay.
Deal. Right?
Yeah.
So now I'm avoiding the girl. Right?
Mashallah.
She keeps trying to get my attention. Just casual highs and hellos.
Yeah.
And that's it. Yeah. And for 2 years, mm-hmm. she would be like looking at me from the corner of her eye. Right.
Yeah.
How someone may, if they have an infatuation.
Yeah.
And I would not reciprocate. I would not let on that I liked her. 2 years finally pass.
Yeah.
I go back to the apartment, knock on the door. Mama recognizes me.
He's back.
He's back.
Yeah.
So she gets the father
yeah.
of the house. He wakes up again.
Oh, he's still night sleeping. Shift. Yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
Right. He sees me, and he's like, okay, what does he want?
Yeah.
And I said, okay, sir, it's been 2 years now.
Mashallah.
I'd like to begin talking with your daughter. And he said, get out of here, man. You didn't get the hint the first time. No, you got to go.
Oh, no.
You guys are way too young. You guys are not prepared. You just got to go.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And that was the end of that. Now, I walked home. It was probably like a 5-minute walk.
Yeah.
To get home.
Yeah.
Opened the door and my mom stood there and she's like, you did it again?
She knew.
Yeah.
The grapevine.
She didn't tell me the first time.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
But immediately everybody knew. She said, all the moms are talking about you.
The mom.
Everyone's talking about you.
They immediately called
they
within
immediately
5 minutes.
Knew. Yeah.
Yo.
And from that day on, I guess like, they got a reputation of like this guy.
Yeah,
he's not gonna try to play around with our daughters or something.
That's a good...
I got a couple of marriage offers.
Did you really? They came to you.
Yeah, yeah. I got a couple marriage offers. They're like, hey, we have a daughter.
Yeah.
Can you take a look?
take a look.
Yeah. Well, actually, what had happened was there was my mom's friend.
Yeah.
Her best friend.
Mm-hmm.
They met in Kenya,
mm-hmm.
right? Back when we were in Kenya for like 6 months for something.
Yeah.
And what had happened was she said, I have a daughter that I think you'd want to marry.
Okay.
So I immediately went to her door, knocked on it.
Of course you did.
This is like a year or something after the fact.
Well, you'd healed.
Yeah.
Inshallah.
I knocked on her door. She opened the door and I said, I accept.
You said I accept.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's like, what do you mean? What do you accept?
Yeah.
And I said, well, I heard you had a daughter to offer me. I'd like to talk to her. And she's like, it's a bit too early for that now.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were just talking about it. We were just...
It was casual.
Your mom and I were just thinking about it.
Yeah.
We haven't put anything forward yet.
Your mom...
I'm like, okay, yeah, let me know. Right? And probably like a year after that is when I got married to my...
First wife. Yeah.
My ex-wife.
Yeah.
When I told my mom that I was getting married.
Yeah.
She's like, what do you mean? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You already promised yourself to someone else. I'm like, really? I thought she said no. Yeah.
It was a misunderstanding.
It was a misunderstanding.
Maybe she's still waiting for you.
No, I'm sure she's married, but that was like 8 years ago.
Yeah, man.
That was a while back.
I mean, you're hard to say no to. Mashallah.
Yeah.
It could be, but... Okay, so approaching the... family directly.
Yeah.
It can be done.
That's what I've been doing.
Yeah. And one of the things that when you told me the first story the first time.
Yeah.
I was very impressed. Because there's this idea, I mean, it's, especially in today's age, it's really hard to go to a father or to a brother and to talk to them directly. But what that it does is it establishes that you have the courage to do that.
Yeah.
And already puts you in a different plane of respect.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think there's only things to...
He's a man's man.
Exactly. There's... It's a little bit awkward, right? But I can tell you that most of the time, the woman... If the woman respects you or the person you're asking for, if she respects you and most of them well, then this is somebody you probably want to be talking to.
Yeah, I mean, like, when I was younger, for me, approaching the family was about as awkward as reading the Quran. It really wasn't.
It wasn't was expected. For you. You're brave, because you're tabarakallah, you're brave. You're a brave young man. But for not everybody has that level of confidence. But the gain, if you do follow through and you do approach somebody's family, if for whatever reason it's too embarrassing, she rejects you because of this is cringe or whatever, that's probably somebody you didn't want to be married to in the first place. The women that you're looking for are the ones who are going to be not only impressed but will respect you more because of that. So there is only things to gain, there's only goodness to gain benefits from that way. So
it also ties in to the whole thing with the if you're trying to find somebody that you're compatible with, for the men, that would be the fastest way.
Yes, that would.
Yeah.
You just go straight to their dad.
Yeah, just go straight to the dad.
Save time. Yeah. Okay, short of going straight to the father. When you approach someone, like on a dating app, right? Of course, if your intention is for the sake of marriage, just to make your intentions known and clear, and you conduct yourself in that way so that there are boundaries in place. Because at the end of the day, you know, we all know the hadith that if a man and a woman are alone, the shaitan is the third among them. And in many dating apps, these are unmoderated spaces. So you just have to really be smart in how you conduct yourself, right? Like, you can ask the questions that you need to ask. You can see whether there's a connection there, whether there's a vibe, whether there's banter, but you just adhere to those boundaries. And if you see somebody who is not on the same page as you in terms of those boundaries, then that's usually a good sign that maybe you don't share a worldview. Like, because we're all at different stages of practicing, right? Within ourselves, within even our own lifetimes, where that's constantly evolving. But my advice is, wherever it is that you're at, to try to, when you hold on to those boundaries, it tends to work out better for you. In the long run.
For sure.
I think they're protective. Because like we spoke about before, there's quite a few people who are there who are not really interested in commitment. They're interested in the benefits and all the benefits of marriage without having to fulfill any expectations or responsibilities. So by adhering to those boundaries, you are protecting yourself,
it's right? A very strong protection.
Yes, because the people who are showing up in a way that is respecting your boundaries tend to also be the same ones who are capable and willing to build a healthy relationship with you, right? So that's the approach phase. Okay, so now we can talk about you and I.
Okay, go ahead.
Our talking stage.
Yeah.
Do you remember when we met?
Yeah, yeah. The 19th of the May, I believe, 2021.
2021.
Shortly after my birthday.
Yeah. SubhanAllah. You know, at that time, I had my filters set so that I wasn't looking at anybody younger than 30 years old. And you had just turned 30.
I just turned 30.
Yeah. So
just managed to squeeze by the filters.
Yeah. So I was just like, how did you make it through? I'm like, how did you make it through all my filters?
Hi, it's me.
It's you.
Hi.
So SubhanAllah, like it, if it had been the week before or a couple of weeks or whatever it was before, it wouldn't have worked. Do you remember how you read what you said in your opening message, in your opening liners?
I read your bio and I'm like, wow, this person is like the girl version of me.
Yeah, I think you said that exactly.
If I were a girl, your bio is exactly what I would write.
Yeah, SubhanAllah.
Yeah.
Which it that caught my attention. Plus at the end of it, you showed that you read my bio, right? Which means that you were at least somewhat interested in me as a human being. And I remember towards the end of that, I had said on my bio that, pretend that I said something funny here. I couldn't think of a joke.
Profoundly deep.
Yeah, I couldn't think of a joke, so I just said, I can't think of a joke. Just pretend I said something funny here.
Mm-hmm.
LOL, you laugh so hard, right? And then, so to respond to that, at the end of your opening, you said, pretend I said something profound here, and then blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, just random words.
Yeah.
Random letters.
It made me laugh.
Yeah.
And I responded with, well, maybe it was profound. Maybe this was commentary on excessiveness of consumer culture. I was intrigued. And the fact that you were able to banter like that back and forth, it showed me that your personality was very similar to mine.
Mm-hmm.
And that you were brave enough to be yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little did we know that our combined power with telling jokes and puns would really annoy our sister.
Yeah. Pretty much anyone we come across. I remember the first time, like, you made a pun. She just looked over at me and she's like, you found... she said, you found another one. Like, I did. So, I say all that to say that once you are... Like, once you've done the work, yeah. All right? Once you've done the work and you're able to heal through a lot of the previous traumas and all the things,
yeah.
And you get clear about what it is you're looking for, when you see it, you recognize it.
You recognize it, exactly.
Yeah. So, subhanAllah, when you said what you said and in the way that you presented yourself, I recognized mm-hmm. you. I knew pretty much within the first few messages that this was it. This was serious.
Mm-hmm.
And that scared me. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I made it even more evident that first day that I came to visit you. Knocked on the door. You opened it. Your sister was there.
Yeah.
And I said, Assalamu alaikum. I'm the man who's going to marry your sister.
Yeah, I'm still cringed out by that.
Yeah.
But it's on brand.
On brand.
On brand. And I respected you for it. My family respected you for it.
Well, did I lie?
You did not.
Mm-hmm.
Alhamdulillah. But again, everybody respected you for that because you were clear about your intentions and you followed through.
Mm-hmm.
But again, once you're able to do the work, you get to a point where you can recognize who is the right person for you.
Yeah.
And then I remember when you said those lines, I went back to your bio
mm-hmm.
and to see whether or not, before I responded to you, to decide whether or not I would respond.
Yeah.
And I saw on your bio that I don't remember what you said specifically, but mm-hmm. the overall vibe was positive and upbeat.
Yeah.
And I say that because when people ask me, what should I put in my bio? And the bios are much more important for the men than they are in the women.
Yeah.
Just because of the nature of the algorithm.
Yeah.
I always tell them, make sure your bio is positive and upbeat. Don't worry so much about the negatives, about the what you've experienced before, what you don't, all of that. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Just talk about yourself. Talk about what you bring to the relationship, the things that make you happy, right? And the overall impression will be positive. And the second thing is your picture, mm-hmm. right? Mashallah, you're a very handsome man.
Alhamdulillah.
But what got me most was your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
If you were smiling, like it was like a really warm smile, and you look very warm. So smile in your profile pictures. Right?
Oh yeah,
that's
smile.
That's what I would say.
You don't want to look like a mugshot.
No, you would be surprised.
Mm.
You would be surprised.
Did people actually upload their mugshots?
The one. Very close. They might as well be mugshots.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people would be scowling.
Yeah.
They're
trying to look tough.
Upset.
Yeah.
It's just, it looks scary because the people they're trying to attract are women. And
yeah,
we don't really respond
to that.
Yeah.
Their whole point of the scowling and everything like that is because usually they deal with men. They hang around with their friends.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And that's their perception of them being tough.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So they're like, well, my friends think this is tough. This is cool. So bring that over to the ladies. They're going to love this.
They're not trying to marry their friends.
Of course not. That's why they're talking to the ladies.
Exactly. So it's, but I'm saying from advice for the brothers is smile in your pictures.
Smile and don't be so mean.
Yeah, those make. I remember there was one profile picture that's there, stays in my mind.
Yeah.
It was a type of weapon. I don't know what I can say, but it was a type of weapon.
Uh huh.
And they were just aiming it into the camera.
How's that going to impress? How's that going
to
impress?
I was like, I don't know where they were trying to go with that.
Their first picture was like, hey, I'm going to threaten your life.
Yeah.
Can I see you?
It was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the advice for the profile picture, the bio in general. Okay, so now if we talk about when we started talking on the phone.
Yeah.
Do you remember what that experience was like?
Yeah, I thought at one point you wanted to do Skype, but it was a typo. Yeah. You were talking about Skynet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that auto-corrected weird.
I was like, wow, that was very fast. It was like the first week or something. I'm like, oh, this person was very fast. Okay, but I'm down. I downloaded Skype.
You did?
Yeah, I downloaded the darn thing. I just downloaded it. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm ready for a Skype session. And you're like, what? What do you mean?
I was like,
and I said, well, didn't you just invite me to talk on Skype?
Yeah.
And he said, no, I'm sorry. That was Skynet. I was talking about Skynet. My phone just did the thing.
Yeah. But that's very sweet. No,
somehow that opened the door for us talking on the phone, however.
Yeah, it did. Because usually I wait a little bit longer.
Yeah.
And the line that I always go with is, you should ask me for my number.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, let's do the phone. And so we started talking on the phone. And I remember in one of the first conversations,
yeah,
I think it was the second day or something, where you came onto the phone and you said, I'm sorry I was late. I said, that's okay. And you said, can I tell you why I was late? I said, go ahead. You said, well, I was brushing my teeth extra in case in the future they invent time travel and like smell-o-vision, but for phones.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
So that this will be a pleasant experience.
That's crazy that they wouldn't.
It's right? Crazy, yeah. But
if they were to ever discover that technology,
yeah,
why would I embarrass myself?
Right? Mm. The logic, it checks out. Mm. But the fact that you said all that, I was just... I remember that was a huge point in your favor because it reinforced the idea that you were similar to me, that your sense of humor matched mine, the way that you're... That you thought, like, the way that you thought was fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I still remember it all these years later.
We're just two wild, wacky people.
Yeah. And whenever it comes to the talking stage, I tell clients, you know, pay attention to what a person says, what they say matters, and see if they follow through. But much more important is to see what they do. What are the actions that they do?
I've got two rules as well, honestly, just to piggyback off of you.
Yeah.
When it comes to the talking stage, my principal rule is to be communicative, right? Open.
Okay. Right?
Just constantly able to talk.
Yeah.
My vice principal rule.
Okay.
What was that?
Nothing. Go ahead. I think you said all that to say vice principal rule.
No, why would I? Why would I ever? I wouldn't just do that. I wouldn't just talk just to make a joke. That would be weird.
That would be so weird.
That would be wild.
I'm glad that's not you.
Who in their right mind would? As I was saying, though.
Yeah.
My vice principal rule is to be consistent. You're laughing again. You're doing the thing.
Okay, let's continue.
Yeah.
Let's continue to the next one. Yeah,
my vice principal rule is to... Well, what do you think I should use in that term? Like,
I think,
instead of saying principal and vice principal, what should I say?
I think my sister's going to hate this podcast. That's what I think this is.
Yeah, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely. she's not going to like this.
Mm.
But if we continue, when you pay attention to what it is that they actually do, one example is, I don't think you remember, but you were in... You were in the store. I was on the phone with you, but you were in the store and you had just finished the self-checkout.
Yeah.
And you had taken a bag, but you'd forgotten to pay for the bag.
Yeah.
Like, you'd zero on the number of bags. And you weren't, I don't think you were doing it intentionally. Mm. Were not aware that I was still on the phone. And then you went to go speak to the cashier and I heard you. You said, I'm sorry, I took a bag without paying for it. How can I pay for it? And the guy said, it's 10 cents. And you said, yeah, but I would like to pay for it. But he said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And he gave you permission to walk away. The fact that you were worried about that 10 cents, right? It showed me that you were conscious of the fact, because I wouldn't really know about it because you weren't really paying attention to me.
Yeah.
And no one else knew about it. So it showed me that you were conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Alhamdulillah.
Watching you.
Mm.
And that really pointed to a good character.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's an example of how during the talking stage, you pay attention to what a person does to give you information about things like their character. So that's when we were on the phone.
Yeah.
And then after a month, so you and I, when we met, we were talking on the phone for about a month due to COVID. And then we finally met in person.
The day that we met.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you remember, yeah. Do you remember that day?
You want to tell a story or do you want me?
You're good at telling stories.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Buckle up. This is what happened.
Okay.
I arrived at the park. She's in a big park outside her condominium, right?
Yeah.
And I sat on the bench closest to the doors.
Yes.
Just across the street from the main driveway and roundabout and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I was waiting and I was waiting and I was waiting. And suddenly, this fella, same complexion as me, mm-hmm. right? A nice African fella.
Yeah.
He sat next to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, hey, we're going to have a nice, peaceful sit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Between two men, they just chill.
Yeah.
But then he started smoking. He took out a cigarette.
Oh, no.
And the cigarette hit me in the face, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just smelt it. I don't like cigarettes. I don't like the smell of the...
Yes, I know.
Any of that stuff.
Yes.
So what I did was I went and sat downwind of him so that... Or upwind.
Yeah.
So that it would... Blow the other direction.
Yeah.
And I thought I figured it out because that was the bench right next to him. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to go very far.
Yes.
Right? Still near the front door.
Yeah.
Another group of people.
Yeah.
4 or 5 people came and sat on the other side of me. Right. So now I'm stuck between 2 people. They started smoking as well. Now there's 4 cigarettes involved.
No.
Right. And I had to move from those benches. I saw a bench on the other side of the park, 30, 40 meters away. I sat there and I'm like, this is too far. Hopefully she sees me.
Yeah.
Hopefully she sees me. You weren't wearing your glasses that day.
I was not wearing my glasses.
You were not wearing your glasses that day.
Yeah, I wanted to look good.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who know me knows what that means.
Mm-hmm.
When I came downstairs and I went to the first bench and I were Somali. So yeah. I was expecting a black man. And so when I met this black man, I said, Assalamu alaikum, AJ. It's nice to meet you. And he had, I couldn't really see his face, but I could hear like, I'm sorry, what?
Mm.
From his voice, I'm like, oh, you're not the right person.
Yeah.
And I was annoyed because I'm like, why aren't you sitting right here?
Yeah.
And then I looked around and I saw you on the far side.
Far side.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was, you were far away enough that I now had to do that awkward walk where you were too far away to say hello. But mm-hmm. you're too close to break eye contact. Like, you've seen each other.
Now, the cool thing is that I saw your blunder.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I immediately pretended I was on my phone because I knew. I knew you were going to do that awkward walk across the park.
Yeah.
And I didn't want you to see that I witnessed it.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. It really helped that part.
I was staring at my phone until you approached.
Yeah. And alhamdulillah, then we sat down and we had a really nice conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what we talked about.
It was a long conversation.
Yeah. But it was very nice. And I just remember the vibe that everything that we had been talking on the phone checked out in real life, that the connection was still there.
Mm-hmm.
And that this is somebody who I still had that banter with and that connection.
Yeah.
And I remember when we got up to walk and you were walking me back to our
condo. You were very tall.
That was those heels.
Mm.
And you know that I bought everything brand new for that day.
Oh,
yeah. Really? I purchased those clothes. I don't really wear a lot of makeup.
Mm.
So I bought that makeup, everything, those heels, just for that date. My sister went shopping with me. It was actually a big deal. We spent a lot of money on that day.
I'm pretty impressive.
Alhamdulillah, it worked out. It worked out. But as you were walking me back to the condominium,
mm-hmm.
do you remember what you turned to me and you said, you remember?
What did I say?
You said, so I've made up my mind that I'm going to do everything I can to marry you.
I remember this.
Yeah. I think that was your proposal. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I just said, oh, okay. I said, all right.
Yeah.
And then, alhamdulillah, I think it worked out. And then after that, we just, within 3 months, we were married.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
That was our talking stage. So if someone else is going through their talking stage right now from the brother side,
mm-hmm.
do you have any words of wisdom for how they can find their
right spouse? Honestly,
if
you guys have the money for it, buy a full set of knight armor. You're going to love it. It's amazing. Just put it off to the side.
Yes.
Right? It's going to act like somebody's protecting you. Right?
Uh-huh.
It's super impressive.
Yeah.
Believe me on this. It's super impressive. Now, I haven't bought one myself. This is just in theory.
Yes, okay? Yes.
So, if you buy the knight armor... Okay, wait. What kind of advice were you asking?
Okay.
You wanted me, like...
Yeah. I mean, I understand love is a battlefield.
Well, yeah, of course.
But we're just going to go right past that. And then in more practical terms, in 2024 terms.
Something that's not like financially heavy.
In general at all. So you have a brother who's met a sister, mm-hmm. right? And he's in this talking stage.
Yeah.
What advice would you give him to suss out whether or not the sister is right for him?
Don't try to play a player, honestly. Like, don't try to be smooth. Just be yourself, right? Like,
yeah.
The weirdest thing that I notice with people,
yes,
is that they'll try to pretend that they're more impressive than they are,
mm-hmm.
To try to win the favor of the person.
Yeah. Right?
But then, what's the end goal? What's the end game? It's not like a business venture where you're negotiating with a person and you never see them again.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, now that you got what you needed, here you're. Your end goal is to get married to somebody. So if you're going to change yourself,
mm-hmm.
you're going to alter yourself mm-hmm. to try to impress or attract the person,
mm-hmm.
How long are you going to be able to keep that up?
Yeah, exactly.
Eventually, you're going to get tired. You're going to get resentful.
Yeah.
They're going to get tired of you. They're going to get resentful.
Yeah.
It's like switching the goalposts.
Yeah. Right?
And now you guys are playing on a weird warped field.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys don't know which way is up or down.
Okay.
Yeah.
I agree with you. This is being yourself is yeah. very, very important, because when you are fully yourself, then the people you're looking for can recognize you.
Yeah.
So that because you were being yourself,
yeah.
I was able to recognize you.
Yeah.
And you were able to recognize me in turn. Like if you had pretended to be someone else,
mm-hmm.
We might not be sitting here today.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It saves you a lot of time, a lot of headache. And makes the process so much faster, so much smoother.
Mm-hmm.
My advice to the sisters is that if you are in a talking stage with somebody and you're trying to suss out whether or not this person is the right partner for you, you need to pay attention to three things. First, does this person have the capacity to build a healthy relationship with you?
Mm.
Not everybody has the capacity. Sometimes people are emotionally unavailable for one reason or another. Maybe they can't meet your needs. Maybe they're not willing to meet your needs. So capacity. The second, does this person, are they compatible with you? The compatibility is important, most especially in determining whether or not you share the idea of the roles, the expected roles in a marriage, right? So you ask questions like, what do you expect from me in this marriage? And what should I be expecting from you?
Mm-hmm.
So the compatibility in that respect is absolutely crucial. It's a very common reason why clients come to me and they say that the marriage is not working out for whatever reason. Their partner now wants a very traditional wife and they're not able to do that because it doesn't meet up with their expectations. The economy is too difficult. The woman also has to work. There's a lot of incompatibility in that respect.
Yeah.
So make sure that your expectations of what you want them to do line up with what they expect you to do,
mm-hmm.
and vice versa. The third thing that you're looking for is character. Is this somebody who you respect? Somebody that you admire? Is this somebody that you want when your children grow up, that you want them to be like? So to summarize, in addition to connection, look for capacity, look for compatibility, and look for the character of the person in front of you. So that's what to look for. Last piece of advice I give sisters and brothers is to trust your instincts. Trust your instincts.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid to walk away if a situation doesn't feel right, if there are red flags. If you find yourself talking yourself into something,
yeah.
It's probably not for you.
Not for you.
Yeah. But trust your instincts, because your instincts have no agenda and they will always be on your side.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the talking stage.
Mm-hmm.
Jazakallah khair for listening. Inshallah, this was beneficial and we hope to see you again next week.
All right.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.